AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we slowly edge towards another huge weekend across Scottish football. The Rangers manager rumour mill keeps turning with a new name added to the mix today. Speaking of which, Derek McInnes to Hearts seems to have picked up pace, and Jimmy Tilleen is the manager of the month for April. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, we're ticking closer to the end of the season. The Rangers Celtic game out the way, so that's a big one. But trophy day to come for Celtic, and the prize of a cup final place for Celtic and Aberdeen players, and obviously the bottom of the league still up for debate, who's going to finish in that playoff spot. And then the small fact in the Championship, Partick Thistle visiting Ayr United tomorrow night for the second leg. So looking forward to that.
You excited?
Oh, can't wait.
You think you can turn it around?
Of course.
I don't. Okay. I've got to say, I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow. Obviously, best interest both clubs. I was a massive part of them. It's still very, very tight indeed. Not the greatest game I've ever watched the other night, but we'll touch on that later. But if you look at it, Premier League, a lot of good games and big important games, especially the bottom six this weekend, I think.
And the top six, St Mirren and Dundee United's a good one, but lots to look forward to. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then? Give us a call, let us know what is on your mind. Not a hugely busy day across Scottish football, but there's always something, because with every day that ticks past, it feels like you Rangers fans are more and more interested in when this takeover is going to happen, what the new manager will look like. A bit of rumour doing the round, Danny Rowle, Sheffield Wednesday manager, whether that's two and two together or whether that could be a real possibility. Is that one you've done your research on, Rangers fans? Is that the type of thing that would excite you? I know the way this works, you'll have seen the name in social media and you'll have done the appropriate digging. So what do you think, Danny Rowle, Sheffield Wednesday? Just another name that's been thrown into the mix. That's the beauty of these managerial searches. You can throw a lot out there and then see what people like and what they don't. So give us a call on that if it tickles your fancy, or more general thoughts on who that manager should be, what the takeover plans are and all the rest of it. Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. I feel like there's a lot of managerial themes doing the rounds, because again, if you're a social media user, and I appreciate not everyone is, the Derek McInnes to Hearts rumour mill really seems to have cranked up a bit today. I was getting text messages and WhatsApps and tweets and all the rest of it. You can see a lot of people suggesting that could be one that is on the cards. And I know he didn't do Kilmarnock's press conference yesterday. Again, is that a two plus two together thing, or has that got legs? Two sides to that then. Kelly fans, are you worried about losing your manager there? And Hearts fans, is Derek McInnes your man? Give us a call, please. 0141 951 1025. It's Thursday. I think you can legitimately look ahead to the weekend and all the big games, as Gordon says. The bottom of the table, massive implications, those games, with the exception really of Hearts against Motherwell. And then in the top six as well, the battle for Europe very much on, the race for third. I mean, if you want to ask any questions about the playoffs, we've got one of the main
fire men. In.
One of the managers
for all your questions
involved in the playoffs is right here, ready to take your call. See, a lesser man would have called off tonight, but he's committed to this cause. 0141 951 1025. You would have missed it, of course, on Tuesday, but he actually,
him a good luck message.
We sent you a good luck video.
Gordon texts me.
There's no answer, no reply. Nothing after a game. Thank you.
I was late at night, but I appreciate your message.
Kind
did it not say come on the honest man?
I did slip a little bit, I've got to say.
He can't even bring himself on an occasion like that to support. You know, and I would have expected better from you, actually, to come down to the game tomorrow night, accept the hospitality at Ayr. Ayr must have invited you along. They must have, for all the good work that you've done for that club. No.
Unfortunately, my invitation's not in the post, but I will certainly be sitting, you know, glued to the screen tomorrow night watching that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Did you enjoy it the other night?
It was the worst game I've ever seen in my life. I was actually shouting, take the ball off the park and let them play tag here. I think you get more entertainment.
Ah, it was harsh.
I think it was just two teams. A bit of nerves setting in. Pitch wasn't great for football. Had to keep yourselves in the tie, both sides. So,
what would you have done?
Oh, don't.
What would you have done?
I'd have won.
Because I like his...
I'd probably won the game, mate. That's what
would
I'd
you have, how yeah. would you have done it?
I'm a tactical genius.
Two up top.
No, I wouldn't have went two up. Well, you'd have me better going two up top, maybe get out a little bit. I'll tell you another thing. I was screaming it. Was it a penalty kick? Come on, Jags fans. Was it a penalty kick?
Joke. Were you raging? You storming into the referee's room after the game? Are you that tight?
I know. No, I'm not that tight. I but you I did, be. You know, a few strange decisions I felt. I'm never one to moan at the referees on the pitch, but I did say to the fourth official when he'd booked one of your players for something lesser 5 minutes before, and then he doesn't give that. And I'm asking him what's the difference. And some of the answers that you get are.
It's getting under his skin.
No, just comical. Just you think, who are you kidding here? I'm having a conversation with you.
You're about to get yourself a ban.
I know, that's why I'm being very careful. So.
Don't worry, Bisardi, that you'll have forgotten all you don't you'll have the holiday head on, don't worry.
Anyway. But by the way, I've got to say, right, and this is sounding like a manager that comes out and says these things, but the atmosphere from the Partick Thistle fans, magnificent turnout, and hopefully they'll be there again tomorrow night to cheer the team on. So well done to them for coming out.
We have a good mileage out of it, because then last night we started asking, honestly, who watched Partick Thistle and who watched Inter Milan Barca?
Wow, you can have had many.
No,
many
listen,
watching the Inter Barca game after our game was on.
A lot of people were committed to the cause of Scottish football, which I'm all for.
And did they last a full 90?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. But it did give us our first ever Inter Milan fan who called.
Right,
need a soft spot for Partick Thistle. So things,
oh, really?
Things that you never knew were.
Well, we play similar, don't we? We're similar in terms of our style and the way we look and
dugouts.
The same hair as Inzaghi and stuff like that.
Stalwart.
Style about us.
I've seen you looking at Stalwart. You need to get rid of that, mate.
Why?
See that?
Well, there's no clock for Hill, so how else am I going to judge the time?
It's just a statement. You know the camera's on you. That's one thing you're good at. You see the minute camera's on, you change. You know the camera's zooming in on you.
Would I know the camera's zooming in on me?
Just your actions and the wee bit of
watch out, Ben.
The wee bit of pointing and bringing over a sub
what I'm going to go and watch reruns of you, Air United, 95. Was that when it was 95?
No, I went. 2000. Yeah, it was 95, yeah. I went Air United, yeah. But I used to, and this is a wee thing for it, I used to take a seat in the director's box first half so you could see the full picture.
Oh, that old one.
That's smart.
Then I'd come down half time, sort things about.
On the phone with a big wire. Phoning
I do realise now they've got iPads and stuff and they can just see everything. Yeah. Ask yourself this, does Pep sit in the director's box and then walk down at half time? What sort of power play was that?
You're just mentioning one manager.
Would any of them do it then?
Oh, plenty of them do it.
Who was the last one to do it?
Which top managers do that still currently?
Probably Fergie done it at times.
Now.
You just obviously sat there to get like cups of tea or whatever it was.
Yeah, I did take a cup of tea.
It's got nothing to do with anything else.
To look important.
No, well, we didn't
have the baggy suit.
We didn't have the technology at the time, did we?
Well, we've got it now.
Anyway, there you go. That's the type of cutting-edge analysis you're wanted on the playoffs, I'm sure. But if you do seriously have any thoughts on it, Mark's here on 01419511025. Celtic fans, what's on your mind tonight? Is it just all geared towards that cup final, or is there anything that can be achieved or learned over the next couple of games? Any players that you want to see perhaps come into the team and get some minutes, get some experience there? Give us the names, give us some suggestions. As I said, Rangers fans, we're looking at the managerial situation every day, really. We're kind of dipping in and out of it because you're scrambling around waiting to see what the official sort of confirmation would be. Danny Rowell, the Sheffield Wednesday manager, was a name doing the rounds on Twitter today. I wonder if that had caught your attention, if that floats your boat in any way. And give us all your thoughts right now, please. Usual phone number, or Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Still going to be an interesting couple of weeks because of all that stuff, isn't it? So if we've got, we get two of our biggest clubs are looking for a manager right now at the same time.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not, yes, the title's wrapped up, but that's, you know, any other time of the season, that would be really two significant stories running side by side.
I think, well, for the Rangers one, first of all, the parallels with Celtic and the Postecoglou appointment, you can quite clearly see them. You know, there was so much uncertainty at Celtic at that time and who was going to get the job, and loads of names being bandied about. And then all of a sudden, I think it was just at the start of June, I think we were having the same conversations. Celtic are so far behind. They need to appoint a manager. Who's it going to be? Somebody with contacts. And then it rumbled into June. And I still thought, wow, that's a bit late. And then Postecoglou gets appointed, and it's the right appointment, and he changes the direction of the club for the next couple of years with signings, his contacts, his style of play, the atmosphere, the connection with the fans. That's what the appointment a good manager can do, that ticks a lot of boxes. Pair it with the takeover, then it's a huge summer, you know. But the managerial appointment is key, is crucial to get this one right, because there's been so many wrong in the past few years from Rangers.
Like, you know, the way this works, as knowledgeable as he is, I do feel like there are limits on Gordon DL's knowledge. So I'm going to bring in James, who's on the line at the moment. Good to see you, James. James is from the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. I want to get a bit more of a local sort of feel on this. James, I wondered if you'd sort of heard about, well, you'll have heard the stories about your manager today, and I wondered if you thought Ibrox would potentially be a future destination. Bring us up to speed on what's been happening with your manager.
Yeah, cheers for having me on, guys. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the manager, yeah, he's been here for, what, a year and a half now. Came in and we were in dire straits last season, and you know, managed to keep us up. We'd gone, what, 10 games without a win. It was really, really, really struggling. And you know what? He has been a bit of a revelation, to be fair, when things on the pitch. Now, you know, this season we've finished mid-table. I do feel like, you know, we've been punching above his weight a little bit when it comes to, you know, the squad that we've got. And obviously that's a testament down to what Danny's been doing. And yeah, it's been some of the football that I've been watching has been, you know, fantastic. Obviously, he comes with a great pedigree, Bayern Munich. You know, he was there with Hansi Flick as his right hand man. Went to the German national side as well. Obviously, this is his first, you know, job in managerial, as in like the head coach. And I think we have seen that. You know, there has been some teething problems. We have had quite a few hammerings, I've got to say, and that perhaps comes down to like the way that he's handled things. But you know what? He has been a fantastic manager, and it's just, you know, he's come out in the media yesterday, spoken to the German media, and some of the comments, you know, some of the fans at Sheffield Wednesday have turned somewhat. You know, he could do no wrong, and now, you know, he's come out, and I mean, we've got issues with the owner. We've had you know, protests against the owner. A lot of us want the owner to leave, so you know, I don't think that's helped proceedings. But you know, yeah, for me personally, I think he's the right manager for us, but just the wrong time. And I think the writing was on the wall. There was links to Southampton in January. They were a club that were interested, and that was well documented. And yeah, he's not going to be at Sheffield Wednesday come the opening day this next season, put it that way.
I think it's what we're probably finding up here is it's quite hard to find the exact kind of profile that fits Rangers, because ultimately not many jobs carry the sort of expectation to just win everything, but also you go straight into being like one of the biggest and best teams in the country. So I suppose you can afford to play entirely differently than you might, you know, at mid-table in the English Championship. Just in theory, could you see his sort of style being one that could work in a team that's expected to be, you know, totally dominant all the time and maybe has more resources than others?
Yeah, he needs better players. There's been times this season where, you know, the football in between both boxes has been fantastic. The end product's just not been there. And that's not a managerial thing. That comes down to the players that you've got and, you know, not being able to finish the chances. And when it really comes down to it, you know, they have struggled. I think there's been times when he first came in that the players just weren't quite up to playing the football that he wants to play. And you've got to remember that he has been around top quality players, like I mentioned, at Bayern Munich, in the German national side as well. These are players that are far, far better than the players that he's had at his disposal at Sheffield Wednesday. Still question marks over his kind of transfer policy and kind of the players that he brings in, but he hasn't had much money to spend, to be honest. So, like I said, that's something that's going to be totally new. And obviously, I'm sure if he does go to Rangers, he'll have a bit more money to spend. But with better players, he needs a better squad, and obviously he'll have that if he does go to Rangers. High pressing football is very much data driven. He said that he spent many a times, just crunching the numbers, which is obviously now the way that modern football has been going. He's been around, like I said, the first managerial job is at us, but he has been around the block for, I think he said, 16 years in, working in football. Not really being a player, but in terms of from the coaching side of things. And he does get the best out of the players, I have to say that. I mentioned that we were punching well above his weight to finish where we have done. And some of the players that he inherited, he's managed to get a tune out of those as well. So, yeah, I think, like I said, he needs better players. And obviously, Rangers have those better players.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to James from the Wednesday Till I Die podcast. Just giving us a little insight there, because we're at that stage, Gordon. I'll be the first. I'm not saying this is definitely happening or anything like that, but you just kind of, every time a new name comes up, I think it's interesting. There's obviously a major appetite for rumours and stories and information when these big jobs are vacant. I think right now, when we're so far out from it, you're almost just looking at profile. Is that one, can you imagine Rangers with a manager that young? Is it going to be a modern, innovative approach? There are no guarantees, but we always look to pigeonhole managers, don't we? Either go experienced, safe pair of hands, young, innovative, European, different stuff. Right now, it's fascinating to think what direction Rangers are going.
I think it's exciting if you're a Rangers supporter, looking forward to what's going to happen. I don't know a lot about him. I was listening to James there, speaking very highly of him. I think if you're a Rangers supporter, listen to that. You're thinking that's a young manager, forward-thinking, good style of football, high-pressing, would be better with better players. I think James actually was a brilliant agent for him there, because I think you'd be going, I would probably take him, listen to the fact that James has watched his team and how he's transformed it. But as I say, I think you'll get a lot of names floating about. I think there'll be a lot of good candidates out there, especially if the new ownership comes in, Gordon, to take this on, because it has got to be a very big task to turn Rangers round. Get them on the front foot, start, getting closer to Celtic. Start, as Barry Ferguson said in his interview last week, start winning silverware, because that's what the club used to do. But now Celtic dominate Scottish football and Rangers need to address that. But I like the sound of them. But I'm sure there'll be plenty of others that people can sit and come on this show and speak very highly of.
Turned 36 last week.
Yeah, quite amazing. And that isn't to be scoffed at or dismissed. And I think there are some fans that will think, no, too young for a club like Rangers. But is that
because of this kind of pressure expectation, that side of things?
I think so. And just the stature of Rangers and maybe historically how they've looked in the past. I know there's been some younger ones in recent times, and Steven Gerrard and Beale, run about those ages. But 36 is very young for a club the size of Rangers. But that's not to say it's wrong. I mean, how many young coaches have we seen, especially in the continent, coming in, doing a real good job now? He's got the pedigree. You look at his background with the national team, Bayern Munich, Leipzig. So there's no doubt he knows what he's doing. He's went into a championship that is incredibly difficult to compete in. A lot of games. And there you are. He's got a fan there who's singing his praises. So,
I think the first question, Mark, that people are going to ask about the new manager, Schalke coach, whatever you want to call him coming in, is what style of football is he bringing? They want to see, you mentioned Postecoglou earlier. He came in, nobody really heard about him apart from myself playing with him as a teammate. But he came into Scottish football and he played inverted fullbacks, he played attacking football, he played football that Celtic fans liked. That's what, for me, Rangers fans are crying out for.
Because I suppose,
winning, obviously.
If you want a... Because he was a winner. in a sense. You know, Ange Postecoglou, you know, he'd won leagues before, he'd won trophies before. If you want someone that's won leagues and cups recently, it has to come from a smaller league.
Just
we know where we are, sort of thing. You're not getting a manager who's just won leagues in a big footballing country. Or flip that, you are picking someone who maybe is it kind of a so-called lower level in a big country, because they might be able to play entirely different football when you come here, and then you're the dominant, or you know, one of the two dominant teams in the country. Well, it's such a different challenge.
There is, with different players as well, and James was mentioned there, have better players. That might not necessarily be the case as well. Rangers squad does need surgery, so that's an interesting thing
I mean,
as well.
What I mean by that is, in theory, better
they will still
than
have better than the rest
than most
of
the
course,
league.
Of course, but how that marries up with the recruitment as well. That's the interesting thing. With Danny Rowe, although he has a pedigree, they have to find something that matches the full system behind the scenes. That's a challenging thing.
Okay. Well, listen, we're just stuck into the rumour mill. There's no shame in that. What are you thinking? Give us a call, 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, 01419511025. You can send us a tweet as well if you would rather do it that way, at Clyde SSB. But it's really up to you. A bit of a blank slate, no pressing major urgent topics for you. But what are you thinking generally, Rangers fans, about what the future looks like, and Celtic fans, what can you achieve between now and the end of the season, apart from obviously winning the treble? I mean, until then, what are you looking to do, what are you looking to achieve, anyone you're looking to see? Give us your thoughts, please. Derek McInnes to Hearts. Hearts fans, Kelly fans, is that a gore, do you think, or not? And anything else out there, you know where we are. So pick up that phone, please. Get in touch with the guys, and we'll work our way through it between now and 8 o'clock. William is on the line. How are you, William?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
All good here. What are you thinking?
I've got cause concern about the Rangers takeover. I see a lot of people assuming that with the injection of money that Rangers will be a success, as if it's almost an inevitability. And part of the reason I have cause for concern is I think it's not just the case that the 49ers are bringing in money. I think that they're going to try and change the structure. They're possibly going to try and change the culture. And I don't think they've got anyone in there who have Rangers, you know, whose blood bleeds blue. And I think that's a problem. A lot of the articles that I read online, we see that, oh, the 49ers are bringing in this methodical approach. Well, I'm not sure it's going to work.
I think you're absolutely right, William, in the sense that nothing's guaranteed. You know, money's not guarantee of success, because you might sign the wrong types of players and so on. Is the excitement from your fellow Rangers fans, though, not coming from this sort of realisation that, well, the current approach isn't working, is it? And the approach that you've adopted over umpteen years now, with various different types of people in different positions at the club, that hasn't worked. So why not try something new and fresh? And almost surely it can't be any worse, I think, is probably the feeling from this season.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I think Rangers, they were punching above their weight in terms of how long they were in Europe for. I mean, Celtic fans will say that they were lucky. And of course, this is a winless season. There's not even a cup. But last summer, they were selling a lot of players. It was absolute chaos. But I'm talking about as a structure. I think the Rangers structure is quite good. And all it needs is cash. And what's happening is, they're going to bring cash, but they're going to change the structure. And I think that's why I've got cause for concern. I think there's people in there who are already doing a good job. And some of the players that Rangers were linked to last summer, that sounded like they were good, but it looked like they didn't have the money. So I just think all Rangers need is money. They don't need complete change. So with the money and the change, I don't think it's going to work.
But what bits of the structure do you think are working particularly well just now then, that you'd like to see stay?
I think there has been some good signings with limited funds. So I wonder, what could this current structure do with 100 million? You know, and I feel they're going to change people, and that might not necessarily guarantee success. And there's also the issue between the relationship between the board and the supporters. We already see there's a new CEO, and I'm not sure him and the supporters are jiving well.
You bring in a different people with a different culture, and then if the supporters cannot see themselves in the Rangers board, it doesn't matter how big your bank balance is, I think there could be a problem. I hope they are a success, but I just see cause for concern that I don't hear anyone else pointing out. All I see is people assuming that it's an inevitability that Rangers are going to get into the Champions League, they're going to supersede Celtic, and I don't think that's so certain.
I think that last point is really important, Gordon. I think the very last bit, of course, like, everyone should remind yourselves there are no guarantees, and it's not going to be like overnight and all that sort of stuff. I don't know. Well, the Rangers fans can phone in and tell us the bit before that, though. I mean, is the current Rangers board or the Rangers board over the last 5-10 years, have the fans loved them? William says some of the signings have been good, and maybe they have, but they've also spent good money on Yilmaz and Danilo and Sam Lammers and so on and so forth. So
I hear William's argument, but I sort of disagree. I think Rangers need a complete freshness. I totally agree when he said that it doesn't matter financially what you bring in. It doesn't guarantee success. We've seen this before with clubs, Gordon. But the structure just now, and I think Rangers fans are really guilty of this, and I can understand. They believe that with Rangers men in the building, it's the best way forward for the club. I don't believe that at all.
They've sort of done that, though, have they?
And they've got Rangers men in the club just now. They've got the biggest Rangers man in the dugout that's a manager just now, interim manager. They've got three or four guys in the backroom staff. They've got guys that are round about the club ambassadors every single home game. So
to be fair, I think William means in sort of decision-making positions.
Yeah, and they've got people in there that do care about Rangers as a football club. But I just think that the fans, they need a sort of a, for me, they need a different direction. They need a something that gives them hope going forward. There's no guarantees, because you look across the city, Celtic are going to stand still and say, right, okay, Rangers are coming in here with big investment, a lot of money. They might change their coach. They might have this, top class coach coming in. We'll just stand still and let them catch us. That's not the way Celtic's got to do it. So I do think, I totally take on board what William's saying, but I think the full club needs a new structure.
This is the thing, William doesn't, Mark, which is fine. I can almost, let's imagine, go back a couple of months and there's a story that 49ers Enterprises want to buy Celtic, want to take over Celtic. I can almost imagine a call like this from a Celtic fan who says, well, listen, there are no guarantees it's going to be any better than what we've got, and we're doing pretty well just now, we're okay. So I would almost imagine that level of uncertainty. But I feel like the Rangers fans are in just such a different place.
Of course.
You know, they want to just believe in this. That's understandable.
That's why I was surprised by William's call. I mean, I get fans fearing the culture or identity the club changes. I think all fans are connected to their club through that. There's no doubt about that. And if anybody's coming in, they want that to remain. So I don't even think if there is a takeover, the culture or identity the club will really change. But I'm surprised at William's argument about the structure being okay. The structure's all over the place at Rangers, and it has been for the last decade or so. It is a revolving door in the background at Rangers. One comes in, the other goes out. There's in-house fighting, some good transfers. I mean, you're probably picking in one hand over the last 10 years the good transfers and the good business, and even at that, they held on to them too long that they diluted them, and then they couldn't sell them. And you're right to mention the more recent ones, that 3, 4, 5 and 6 million have been spent, and you're still
and I knew
thinking,
there was another one on Barami was the most recent one. And you know, these players actually aren't cheap. In a way, that does reinforce William's point, though, of the fact that money doesn't guarantee anything. It's not like Rangers haven't spent a penny.
So there's been a lot wrong. And I think then when you pair that with a lack of success, a trophy here and there for a club the size of Rangers isn't good enough. And it's why there is a hope from Rangers fans that there will be success. But again, I agree with him that it's not guaranteed. Of course it's not.
William, you mentioned, you know, doing well to stay in Europe to the latter stages. So quarter final of the Europa League this season, would you swap that for a proper title challenge next season?
I want both. I just love the Europa League. I love to see Rangers in action on Thursdays. And in terms of what Gordon was saying, Gordon DL, I've just loved seeing Barry Ferguson in there. I've loved seeing the passion from him. I've loved watching the training sessions, and I felt there's a lot of Rangers fans that said the same. When Barry Ferguson came in, there was the ridicule, and then people were watching the training sessions and were saying, hey, you know what, that was great. You know, people are getting involved and there's that buy-in.
William, so, would you give Barry Ferguson the job to take you forward? Is that what you're saying? Would you get, if you were in a position just now, would you give Barry Ferguson the job full-time?
Potentially, yes. If I was coming in, yes, I would give him a shot, and I'd say invest. Give him. I would, first of all, I'd want to see what he had to say, Gordon. Mm-hmm. If he talked a good game, I would go for it. But I just think I love to see that Rangers identity. I love to see Barry Ferguson in there. I love to see Billy Dodds. I love to see them working together. And that, to me, I can see that is my Rangers. But you bring something in, and you bring a methodical approach. And it's just like, well, is this really Rangers or is it just a cookie cutter? And that's my concern going forward.
I think Rangers fans, and it's been a while, granted, I get this before opposition fans jump on it. Rangers fans feel the identities, those guys though with trophies above their heads, you know, and you need sort of, if you're having such a period of being in Celtic shadow, it does suggest that, It needs massive change.
Of course it needs massive change. The proof's in the pudding. Look, I've sat in this show since day one and praised Barry Ferguson to the hilt for the job that he's went in and brought that club together. He brought those supporters, everything together. They needed him at that time. You look at Rangers just now, the proof's there. When was the last time they won a game at Ibrox? You know, this is what I'm saying. Ibrox, where everybody used to say fortress, come to Ibrox, the only team that really can come there and turn us over on a day would be Celtic. Teams, Barry Ferguson, the Rangers man, the Rangers legend, said that, I think it was after the St Mirren game, nobody's frightened of playing Rangers anymore. They fancy their chances. Aberdeen will go there at the weekend and fancy turning Rangers over. That wouldn't have happened. So what that tells you and tells Rangers fans as well, they need change. They need things to be different in the summer. They need a identity going forward. For me, they need a freshness. I totally take on Williams, because William will not be alone, because there are a lot of Rangers supporters out there always saying, oh, we want to identify the club with one of our own, and guys like Billy Dodds and Barry and Neil McCann and McGregor. I take that. But I think Rangers need different.
I'm here to be shot down, but I'm not saying Williams alone. I think he'll be almost alone amongst Rangers fans who are not that excited by the thought of a takeover. But look, not because it guarantees anything, as William said, but just because of where they've been.
It's just difference, rather than the, here comes, you know, a Rangers supporter with a bit of cash who injects a bit and goes onto the board, and, you know, 6 months, a year down the line, oh, there's been some sort of infighting, he's away now, or it's someone else. This seems like, maybe stable's too strong a word, because we don't know how it's going to pan out, but it's a big enterprise. They know how to run football clubs. They've got previous in it. So surely that's better than where Rangers are at the minute. Without the guarantees of success, probably gives you the best chance.
I know you weren't actually asking, but if you are, it's the 2nd of February. Rangers beat Ross County at Ibrox.
The last game. Yeah, and so that tells you that Rangers need change.
Okay, William, it's an interesting one, because it's not a viewpoint we'd heard before, but that's the beauty of it. You know, I always like a bit of balance on here, so I appreciate it. Nevertheless, let me tell you about this before we move on. Right, you're running out of time on this. You would kick yourself forever if you missed out. So £532,000, that is the number that is up for grabs. You do not need me to tell you, it is a very, very big number indeed. £532,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. Or for a huge 100 entries into the draw, you can text BANK to 61025. And those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Now, your final option, you could call 03434 269 340. And the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at Clyde1.com. Here's the important bit for tonight. The lines close at 5pm tomorrow. So do not leave this to the last minute and then miss out. You just answer your phone if it rings, and the £532,000 would be yours straight into your bank account after the call as well. So text yes to 61025.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141-951-1025 is the number that you need, so give us a call. Alan's in East Kilbride. How are you, Alan?
Hi, how are you doing? All right.
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thanks.
Good.
Not bad.
What are you thinking?
It was just, obviously, the Rangers 49 is a big topic just now. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was, obviously, there's a rumour mill about the manager, about the takeover. One of the things that we've not really spoke about, or I've not heard a lot about, is sponsorship deals. Kind of just one point I was going to make is, how would the Rangers fan feel about a new sponsorship, let's say Red Bull or Coca-Cola, or whoever that might be, but then in the same instance, injecting cash into the football club through renaming Ibrox? Obviously, it's always going to be called Ibrox, but say the Coca-Cola Stadium or whatever it might be. It was just to see what your points were on that and see what the callers maybe thought about it.
Oh, it's a good question. It's a great question.
Oh, I'll tell you what.
100%.
People feel strongly about this stuff.
I would always sell the naming rights because Alan's right. It's always going to be called Ibrox to those who deem it Ibrox. But you're getting cash for, letters on your stand.
So you don't think it's still kind of selling your soul, abandoning tradition?
Wouldn't care about naming a stadium. Would not care.
I am not thinking Ranger supporters, majority of them, right? I think Alan makes a great point. Majority of them, I'm not thinking Ranger supporters are going for it. No.
Because I wonder if there was a time where, I don't know, like modern football has always been about money, right? But maybe 20 years ago, as an example, 25, 30, we didn't really quite obsess over it the way we do now. It didn't feel like it was such a clear relationship. Whereas now, although you've got that, this kind of sentiment and whatever, if it was right there in front, if you just saw the number, if you saw the zeros of the millions that could be given.
Right now, money's king to Rangers.
Well, that's what I mean.
We all know that, right? But you've got... For me, I could be totally wrong. I'd be desperate to see a poll in this, right? I just think you've got too
much. On a poll.
I just think there are too many Rangers fans out there that just percentage wise wouldn't go for that.
What do you think, Alan? What's your own take on it? I suspect you're keen, or would be keen, sorry.
Listen, business is business. Football is a business game, let's be honest. So if the numbers are right, being a Rangers fan, it's always going to be Ibrox. It's always going to be Ibrox. We all know that. But when the number's right, the number's right. My only concern being a Rangers fan is the slagging you could potentially take from your rivals around what the slogans might be.
I know it's a quiet night. Don't make me ask what companies would be best. I'm unwilling to go down that road. Okay, as an example though, what do you call Dundee's stadium? What do you call it?
Dench Park.
Right, it's the Scott Foam Stadium. Foam, yeah. Nobody says it. What do you call where Kilmarnock play?
I don't care what you're calling Dundee and Kilmarnock. This is Rangers Football Club.
That's what I mean. So I was getting there. Yeah, I was going to say, is it just different because it's a big club?
100%.
I don't hear many folks saying, I can't wait to go down to the Billy Bowie Special Projects Stadium at Rugby Park.
Yeah. Listen,
about big clubs like Arsenal? Highbury was their place.
I mean, they moved then, that's
they
different.
They didn't move,
isn't it?
But... Yeah.
Etihad,
big clubs.
You know the way this city works. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that I'm like you, Mark. I love the money.
I love cash.
Cash is king. I would take the money. I'd sell my soul for a couple of quid. Don't you worry about that. I'm putting my head round these Rangers supporters that are listening to this just now, and I think a lot of them would be real against
because
that.
I get where you're coming from because Rangers fans will take their traditions, very seriously and all the rest of it. But are we to believe that, it's stronger than like anywhere else? As an example, is it not officially called the Spotify Camp Nou these days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you get to a point where you go, like, hold on a minute, like, this is all daft. If this stuff's good enough for Barcelona, it's good enough for anyone else.
I think so. I think you need to modernise and go with the times. If you're really serious about progressing your club, And it might fall on Celtic's doorstep one day as well.
You're not going to phone him and say, I can't wait to go to Spotify camp now. But yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, that's what I mean. We'd all still call it the same thing. I think if Rangers are looking to modernise and looking to go forward, it's still possible to do that by keeping your culture and your identity. But the stadium name, Ibrox, is still always going to be there. But you need to, you know, think about how you're bringing income, how you're making everything tick along the right direction. And if that means selling a few letters above your stand and it's the press that use it, fine. Who
selling
cares?
Your soul, people would say.
Fuck, who cares?
I'm
interested in this from you. I didn't expect you to take that stance. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong. No, it's like very, very principled.
I just think that, look, it's a long while since I've been at the club and everything like that, but you know, people that have followed Rangers for years upon years upon years upon years, and they look at this as they're selling, they are a massive football club along with Celtic in this city. Of course, they are. Now, I think there would be some out there that would say, yeah, agree with Mark Wilson. I think it's totally right. I think you've got to look at modern day. You've got to go forward. You've got to keep. But I think a lot of fans out there would be up in arms about it.
What was the last one to really? It was Newcastle that went that opposite way, didn't it? Did they not like rebel when it became Sports Direct?
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But then again, there was obviously quite a toxic relationship there.
It was still called St James's Park, really, wasn't it? Like, there's loads. What you don't want to do is, and I get why they do it, some of our smaller clubs then flip-flop, change the names each year because they're changing sponsorships. You'd want it to be a long tie-in with a prestigious company. And I know Alan made a joke there about he'd be worried about the ridicule with certain names. If you've got a prestigious name that's connected with your
Red
club,
Bull would
say,
be.
Aye, but yeah. Take the Emirates, right? Nobody scoffs at that because Emirates is, you know, right up there with the best companies and it's associated with your club and the advertising boards are on in the pit. It looks apart. Nobody scoffs at that. So if that, say it's Emirates for Ibrox.
That stadium's just always been that though, hasn't it?
It has been. I get that, but you get what I mean with a big company. You know, I'm going to say Livy here because Livy was Tony Macaroni, right? And everybody made the comparison, mm-hmm. the spaghetti had and all that. And then it's changed to Set Fair Arena. And I can totally understand that for Livy. Rangers couldn't become that. But a big company that you can market in the right way and take around the globe, 100%,
see,
all day long.
See, be honest, I think you make a good point about Emirates, right? The only way I think that you would get away with it, and we're now going in a different direction, if, like Arsenal, Rangers moved, right, and said, right, we're going to rename our stadium, this is what's happening here, blah, blah, blah.
That would be even worse then. That would be even more like...
But I think that's the only way that the Rangers fans would accept what Mark's saying. Look, I would take the money. I'm not saying I wouldn't, because I think Rangers need money, they need investment. I think every Rangers fan will agree with that. I could be sitting here the only person that thinks this. But I think Rangers fans would be up in arms if you turned around and said, we are going to sell the name, we'll still keep calling it Ibrox. I don't think that's happening.
That's fine. Alan, I'm going to give you the final word on this. He's very... this is the most engaged I've seen him in a topic in a while, so you've done well.
I suppose, I just to reiterate, I totally agree with Mark. I disagree with Gordon. But just to throw it out there, the slogans, Red Bull, they give you wings. And then maybe we could call it the Kellogg Stadium because they're great.
Oh, my word. Get him off.
He's been waiting for that.
The simple ones are the best. Yeah. I like that.
Is it just me that was...
best call of the night.
I was actually worried about what he was going to say there. And then it turned out just to be a dad joke.
You have no idea the companies I've got in my head and I can't get them.
Oh, stop it.
Please. That's a good call. I like it. God, it's discussing that.
A great debate.
A good point.
Aye,
you want to wade in?
Us.
You want to wade in?
Get a poll up there.
He wants a poll. No, how polls. Do you construct
a
poll?
The good thing about this is, I suppose hypothetically, we'd ask you all, fans of all your every team out there, would you do it? What are your thoughts on the old naming rights money situation? Give us your calls. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down if you fancy beating Gordon DL or Mark Wilson and winning a signed ball. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141
951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, and please do. It's up to you what you're thinking this evening. We've done a bit in the old Rangers manager rumour mill early on in the show. And then the beauty of this live radio, we get all sorts thrown at us. These two were asked to, were you going to change the naming rights to Ibrox or something? You feel very strongly about that. I'm surprised. I've not seen you that interested in something football related in a long time.
I just think a lot of Rangers fans wouldn't go for
it. Good on you.
From my opinion,
Celtic fans, what are you thinking? Because it's all wrapped up in terms of the league, obviously the cup's to come. Is there anything that can be achieved or learned in the next few games? What would you like to see happen over the piece? I think winning the treble is a fairly obvious answer, but what else? Is there anything you want to see in the next few games? Give us a shout. Derek McInnes to Hearts seems to be picking up a bit of pace. That rumour, is that one that worries you, Kilmarnock fans? Is it one that entices you, Hearts fans? Give us a shout right now, please, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You know, they talk about like the Scottish Premiership right now. It's all about like the race for third or the battle to avoid the playoffs. The best bit of the Beat the Pundit table is you versus Marvin Bartley.
Really?
Just
right.
Big changing every time. Okay. He'll win, he goes above, you win, back above.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
You know
stuff.
What? I expect better from myself to be in a race with Marvin.
But you're busy nowadays,
I'm
to
busy.
Be fair.
I'm busy, but still,
in
I should.
Dug out.
Should be ahead of Marv.
Okay. Andy is in Maryhill. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, just so, mate.
Not bad at all. The good thing is, if you win, just pop yourself down to Fir Hill tomorrow morning. He'll bring you the ball.
Aye.
Local for you. Happy with that?
Perfect.
Good. Have you ever played before?
I've played before. I was thinking of producer there. It was really about when Scotland played Spain, over in Spain. I played DL.
Oh, and?
I think I beat my tiebreaker.
No, he beat you.
I think everybody beat
me. He says he played you around the Spain game. Remember that? In fact, we stayed in late that night, didn't we? Remember McTominay's disallowed goal?
Oh, right. I thought you meant when we were over in Germany and Euro, sorry.
We didn't play Spain at
I don't think he did beat me.
Doesn't listen. Did tiebreaker?
No, I didn't. Whipped him.
I was thinking about this today. Do you know how scary is it that that's pretty much nearly a year that we went to Germany?
It was all a build up, wasn't it? And we were all excited, and then we found out we were sharing rooms, and I took the gloss off it.
Me and him are going down to London next week for an awards, and
he's sharing a room.
He's sharing a room with someone. I've not told him, but he is.
Let me tell you, I've already phoned the hotel.
No, you are.
I've got my own suite.
Budget constraints.
The DL suite, I'm upgrading.
Top and tailing.
There's not many that could share a room with this guy and stay sane. You've managed it.
I'm just going to sit. I've got to sit in the lobby all night.
Well, you did that one night, both of you. Well, I remember it. Anyway, Andy, what we'll do here is toss the coin. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL. And it is tails. It's Mr. Germany himself.
Oh, right, okay.
Top to my 50p. You can have it.
Cut me right in there.
Let's give Gordon something else to listen to, please. Turn it nice and loud. Make sure he's got those headphones on properly, because he would cheat, let's be honest. Andy, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Simple as that.
No worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Oscar Cortez is on loan to Rangers from which French club?
Lille.
Who's the oldest outfield Celtic player to make an appearance this season?
Callum McGregor.
How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes managed?
Three.
Which Scottish Premiership teams conceded the most goals this season?
St Johnson.
Which Australian international currently plays for Livy?
Devlin.
Who finished bottom of League One this season?
Oh.
You've got time to give it a guess. You've got time to give it a guess. Quick.
Dumbarton.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I thought they were quite difficult.
He's shaking his head.
Thought they were difficult.
Do you know what I thought you were trying to do? You don't usually bother. I felt like you were really trying to lip read me there, so I tried to hide.
I'm not that good.
I know. That's then that went into my head. I thought he's not much of a reader of anything. Never mind lips.
No.
So I thought I would, but I was. That's why I was hiding behind the mic.
Right, come
you
on.
Don't usually stare into my eyes while you're doing it.
I was just looking at him, and he's gone. Oof.
Yeah, tough. Right. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Your time. Same questions. Time starts now. Oscar Cortez is on loan to Rangers from which French club?
French club Marseille.
Who's the oldest outfield Celtic player to make an appearance this season?
Cal McGregor.
How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes managed?
Two.
Which Scottish Premiership teams conceded the most goals this season?
I would probably say Dundee.
Which Australian international currently plays for Livy?
Pass.
Who finished bottom of League One this season? Quick.
Alaba.
I don't know. He's in panic there. He tried to glance straight and he didn't have any tables.
I didn't do well, did I?
Oh, no.
No, you did not.
Certainly not. Did it feel like you did well?
I didn't get a zero, but. No, I didn't.
Let's wait and find out.
James, must be James Forrest, is it?
You said Callum McGregor.
Why did I say that?
Good question. What do you think, Andy?
I just said, as soon as I said Callum McGregor, I thought James Forrest.
You weren't feeling great about your attempts, Andy. Do you feel better having heard his, though?
Aye, because I know I've definitely. I know McInnes played for managed more than two teams.
What's in Johnston?
You're in bother. You're in real bother. Let's go through them. Oscar Cortez is on loan from. No? Longs, how do you say it?
When I've got that
French pronunciation.
Right.
Both of you did fall for it. James Forrest is older than Callum McGregor.
I did not. I knew that.
33. It's because you're just programmed
to
not. I said outfield. Listen, come on.
When I went the Schmeichel one.
Surely there's one in here that's saving me.
How many Scottish clubs has Derek McInnes
managed? St Johnstone, Aberdeen, and Kilmarnock.
St Johnstone, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock. 1-0. Andy.
Right.
Don't wait. Is DL getting a donut?
I'll come back to this next one. Which Australian international plays for Livingston? Ryan McGowan.
Oh, so he does.
Are you okay, Matt? That's macho.
By the way, did you see him the other week here when we were playing them and we were making a tactical change? I was trying to talk to Brian and he comes over and sneaks up behind Brian. I'm listening.
like stealing the note.
And Brian has to
pass it on.
Hey, hold on here. I'm in dire straits here. Come on.
Do you know what? There's actually not much suspense here because Andy got Dumbarton as well. I just did the old, right, quick, carry up, guess one, and he said Dumbarton. And he got it right for bottom of League One, not Alloa. So he's 2-0 up on you.
Get a points reduction.
I'll give you, you got Dundee, have conceded.
Oh, you didn't get any donut.
I needed one there.
You still lost?
No, go back to a question.
Why?
You said you were going back to a question.
Yeah, that was the one I was going back to, Dundee. Have I counted them up wrong?
No, that was it.
That was it.
That was it. You've been done by Andy again.
Second time.
Andy does DL.
Andy owns you.
Next time, Gordon.
Shut up, you. I'm not
going to
listen to you.
Andy owns you.
He's got you.
He's got you in his mantelpiece.
That is poor.
There was stuff in there
I knew. James Forrest, come on. Why did I go to with Derek McInnes?
I knew you'd get that one run.
I know. I forgot all about St Johnstone.
That was poor
tonight. Andy, I'll let you have a ball tonight, seeing it's near the end of the season.
The second one he's taken off you.
No, he never beat me.
Andy, known us, that was over a year ago. You've probably not got your first signed ball yet, do you?
No, my wee boy kicks it about.
Oh, he does. Good. I'm glad to see you've kept it pride of place. Wee boy's battering it around the garden.
When you phone back on Tuesday, I want to play you again. That was poor.
You're a Celtic fan, Andy?
Aye.
What are you thinking for the rest of the season? Just full steam ahead to the cup final. Is there much else in there for you?
I think just focus on the final, but obviously you want to win every game. But I would like to see them putting some of the younger talent out to get them game time.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know, Mark, if there's any other, you know, kind of bigger issue. The one that we did debate a lot, didn't we, that's kind of gone away. Did Greg Taylor sign a new deal before the end of the season? Does that wait and just play out in the summer?
Well, I hope so. I think the Celtic fans will hope so.
I think he was going to sign it by now.
You think so? Oh, I still think there's a bit of mileage left in that. I think there's still a bit to go.
I was just thinking more like what are the issues? What were the outstanding issues for Celtic now? Is that the only one?
It's hard to tell when you're in this side of the game now, but Greg Taylor and his agent and Celtic are the only ones that will know that, and about the timings. Maybe
maybe has got an offer on the table for elsewhere. There's nothing wrong with that, that he has to weigh up and consider as well. Maybe he needs to feel valued, which I think he probably will. But maybe those wee intricate bits of deals in terms of, I don't know, appearances or Scotland appearances or, you know, bonuses, maybe they just need to be ironed out. But if it's me, I would have Taylor and Tierney for that left-back spot. Because if you're getting into the competition, the amount of games that Celtic have, and you want to play in different ways, I think Taylor plays differently to Tierney. And I think you'd get to use both of them.
Yeah, I get Andy's logic because I think a lot of people would think along those lines, say if someone's not signed it yet, you know, it's probably too late, it won't happen. So I think it's just because it's a bit rarer. The only one, have I missed any? Remember, did Conor Goldson not sort of do this?
Right down to the last second.
You know, yeah, kind of thought when people thought, well, he'll probably leave, but then he didn't. Is it just because it doesn't happen so often anymore, people get all offended by it, you know, or think it's some sort of lack of commitment or whatever? I'm thinking another one maybe even is Lauren Shanklin. Like, is it beyond the realms of possibility that he just stays at Hearts?
I'm with Mark, and plus the fact Taylor get back into the team, and Brendan Rodgers was speaking very highly of him as well. So, I think everybody just jumps in bandwagon. He's not signed it yet. That means he will not be a Celtic player. I agree with Mark. I think I like Taylor. I think that Taylor going forward with Tierney in that left back position makes Celtic strong. I think he knows how to play that, you know, the full back role when they have to get into Midland Park and get on the ball and, you know, play from there. I think he's very good at it. He does come in for a bit of criticism sometimes. But I think that it'd be a good signing for Celtic to keep Greg Taylor. But Greg Taylor might look at situation and go, well, I'm going to play second fiddle to Tierney if he's fit, which he will do. I'd rather go and play games somewhere else.
I wonder if it's the length of the contract as well. Everyone thinks it's down to figures and what they're getting per week, or like I just said, their bonuses. But the length of a contract for a player who is still pretty much in his prime is key. They don't just want to sign 1 year or 2 years even. They want security for a long time. And quite often clubs do when they've got a saleable asset. Of course, they'll sign them up in 5 year contracts, 6 year contracts. But when they're maybe past that point, and maybe Taylor is past that point, a saleable asset, he would do a great job for Celtic, but are they going to recoup any money? Maybe Celtic are offering them a shorter contract than he would hope. That's me just speculating.
And they blame the fan who randomly brought it up through the Rangers lens. I'm just curious, would you sell the naming rights to Celtic Park for 20 million or whatever?
Nah, I think it would have to be at least 50 million, but I'm not particularly precious for it myself, but you still call it what you wanted to call it. But I think it'd have to be more than 20 million. People sign players for 20 million, so.
There we go. I was just curious. I looked it up actually because I wasn't really sure, and I wasn't sure what number to suggest there.
100 million over 5 years.
So 20 million a season?
Aye.
That, though, apparently that's. And I wonder if the accuracy of this article, apparently that's what Spotify paid. Pay Barcelona.
That's what Celtic Rangers want.
Sounds like you might struggle to reach that then.
Aye, maybe. But it's a good number anyway. It sounds
apparently
good.
20 million euros a season.
That's cheap for the new camp, huh?
I thought it'd have been more, unless this article was talking nonsense. The Bay Arena in Germany, apparently the top 30 million a season.
The Bay Arena?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I don't know. Is that Bayer Leverkusen or something?
Oh,
or is that just... Anyway. I don't know why I've gone down this rabbit hole. I really regret it now. Tom's on the other line. How are you, Tom?
I'm grand, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, my question at the start was that what I'd love to see with Celtic, particularly because that was a question, what would Celtic supporters like to see? I'd like to see them running out some new players before the end of the season, some youngsters, give them a taste of the grass, get them to, you know, give a chance to show themselves off, and give the older players and the more experienced players a rest. But I'd love to see some new bodies, new blood. I think that would be fantastic.
Mark, would Celtic be likely to play some young players between now and the end of the season?
In an ideal world, you'd like to think so, with everything wrapped up, the cup final round the corner. But as the years pass by, it's becoming rarer and rarer, unfortunately. The Celtic B setup's a good setup. I watched them the other night. I've watched them actually several times this year. Even in the Champions League campaign that they were in, good players playing at a good level. I've no doubt they could cut it in our league. But we've seen one or two of them throughout the campaign. Even when you look at the away game in Aston Villa, and Cummins comes on and Murray comes on as well. Ewer is, if anybody's seen Ewer, who wins, is it their academy player of the year for the second year running? He's a carbon copy of Callum McGregor. So it'd be good to see him in the first team environment. Boner's been on the bench as well. So there's been in and around the squad. But I remember, God, going back years ago now, I remember there was a season when I was at Dundee United all the years ago. It was at the end of the season and a whole raft of young players got the chance, and it was like John Kennedy and Maloney and all that all got put in at the tail end of the season. The fans loved it. I remember that.
You see the odd sporadic one, the Jack Aitchison against Motherwell, that sort of thing.
Johnny Kenny, for instance.
Yeah, but he's at least a bit more in the picture. But he obviously came on last week.
I look at... It's going to be interesting to see how Brendan Rodgers handles this. He's got, what, 3 league games to go, and then he's going Aberdeen Cup final. But you talk about young players, resting the experienced ones. Callum McGregor, how many games does he play a season when he's fit? Plays nearly every game, plays nearly every minute. And he's one of the most experienced ones. In fact, if it wasn't for James Forrest, I'd probably have drawn tonight. But I think you'll look at the squad that he's going to use. He's got Bernardo there, McCown there. He's got one or two that he can put in to keep them ticking over with one eye still in the cup final. I think the caller's right. I think every team now, I hear Rangers fans crying out for it as well. Look, nothing to play for. Put the young players in. Let's see what we've got coming through. I think fans love young players coming on, excite them. But you just wonder how Brendan Rodgers, especially going for a treble, has gone to manage his squad. Will he add a couple of young players in, or will he just go with squad players and keep them all rotating and make sure they're sharp for May, that is it 24th? Am I correct in that? 24th,
so.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what he does on Saturday against Hibs.
Is there a problem, I don't know if that's the right word, Tom, that Celtic have got such a sort of big, strong squad as it is, that the young players are, you know, so far out of it really, and would come from relative nowhere. You know, if you're a kind of fringe player at the moment, I don't know, whoever, Luke McCowan or Paulo Bernardo or Yang or whoever, and then you've been waiting for your chance, but all of a sudden that chance actually goes to someone who's even further down the pecking order. Is that maybe quite difficult?
Well, of course, you have to kind of, it's Brendan Rodgers' job to sort out who he wants, but I still maintain I would be happy to see new players on, even if they dropped a point or two here, just let them see what they're up to, see what they're about. I think that's invaluable, because what happens is, Celtic go on, they've won everything in front of them, they'll probably win the cup, and then everything goes quiet, and then the next thing we're all off again, like hens and Harrier, all off again in August for the whole thing to start, and then they stand no chance because there's too many risks involved. At the moment, there's practically no risk involved, and I'd like to see new faces, like you said yourself, new faces coming in. Let's see what they can do.
Is there a danger, Mark, that it becomes a token gesture anyway as well, where it would be, you know, if you're there on the day, if you're a Celtic fan, you go along and some young player, it's nice, but what, just one time because it's the end of the season, and then it never really happens again until you've wrapped up next season's league?
But that's the important thing. It's got to be a meritocracy where the players who have developed have not just came for the B team, and because it's the end of the season they get flung in like a raffle winner. They've got to have had interaction with the first team. And I know a few of the ones that I've mentioned have trained and been brought up to first team level. So they've been in and around the squad. So it's got to be that connection that the manager can see a pathway for them to actually affect the squad next season, rather than just putting them to give them game time to punt them somewhere else next year. So I think Celtic have got a group of players that are in and around it, but we don't often see them because of the point you make, Gordon. Celtic carry such a huge squad full of quality that who do you leave it then? Because it's prime opportunity to give some of those lesser seen players in your squad game times. Very difficult. It seems to be getting harder and harder. But the one good thing that Celtic's got is Brendan Rodgers. Started as a youth developer. He's always been true to that. So it's not as if they've got a manager so detached from that way of thinking. But still, at the big clubs, you need to be good enough to push by some of the fringe players in the squad. And that's the way it should be at a club like Celtic Rangers. You need to be top to break into that team.
Okay, thank you, Tom, in Helensburgh. 01419511025. Great time to call. Whatever it is you've got for us, now's the time to share it, and we will get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. Or you can tweet the guys at Clyde SSB. Bob in Shettleston has sent tonight's full-time teaser, and he says, please try and do better than you did on Beat the Pundit.
Yeah.
Can you manage that?
I feel I've let everyone down in my heart.
Because you've been on a good run.
I know.
But that was diabolical.
Yeah, it was just, I think, too much sun sitting out the back there with Mark before we come in.
Yeah, I liked you too, in a couple of plastic Foley chairs, just nice, huh? Doing your pre-show planning in the car park.
In the car park.
Yeah,
guy.
I think
I was out there for about an hour and a bit.
Yeah, you can see it in your face.
Lovely, aye.
Anyway, Bob in Shettleston says, the Dazzler says there's always a goalkeeper.
Oh.
So, since 97-98, seven keepers have kept 50 or more clean sheets in Scotland's top flight, but they've never played for Celtic or Rangers. Seven keepers, 50 or more clean sheets in Scotland's top flight, but didn't play for Celtic or Rangers. It's since 97-98.
Jamie Langfield.
Yes.
That was going to be my first guess.
Was it?
Aye.
What was your second guess going to be?
Jim Leighton.
No.
No.
No, he was in 97.
He was. He went to the World Cup 98.
Good guess.
But didn't he keep 50? 50
clean
what
sheets.
What about Craig Sampson?
No.
No.
Right, what we have to do is think of all the goalie coaches.
Yeah. Craig Hinchcliffe.
Oh. Don't think of all the goalie coaches.
Okay, that was bad advice.
I would usually love you two to go down a path, but we'll be here all night. I don't think there are
any goalie coaches.
No, certainly not. No. Actually, I stand corrected. There are
Gordon Marshall.
No,
he played with Celtic.
So he did. Good shout.
You two are hopeless.
We are
right. Exactly.
You love goalies. Go on. Give us some.
Sander Clark.
Yes, Gordon DL, St Johnston and Hearts. Okay, leave it there. You've got two down, five to get. Looking for seven goalies since 97-98 who've kept 50 or more clean sheets in Scotland's top flight, but they can't have played for Celtic or Rangers. Let's bring in Rio, who's on the line. How are you, Rio?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. What made you call?
No, I was just wanting to make the point about Johnny Kenny, that if my disc squares that ball, then we're all talking about Johnny Kenny, and that probably gets him 20 minutes in the last two games, or maybe even a start. Because my point is, the Celtic really need to go and spend 8 million this cycle when they've got one sitting there.
That's a great hypothetical, that, since we're doing that a lot tonight. If Johnny Kenny scores at the weekend, does he start on Saturday? It feels like the type of thing that would just follow on, but maybe.
Why would you think he won't start?
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's how sort of delicate and knee-jerk football is. You know, like, okay, then maybe we're doing Brendan Rodgers a disservice. Maybe he is a bit more methodical, but there would have been proper fan sort of clamour for it. I feel like this weekend, to be fair, Rio is bringing his own clamour, but it's not as loud as it would have been.
I don't know if it would have swayed Brendan Rodgers' mind, because I think he would have, like you say, had his mind made up and how he's looked in training and what he actually did when he went on. Actually, he did fine. He looked lively, got himself into okay positions. But a goal helps him in terms of the fans, because you're right, the fans then recognise it would have helped Johnny Kenny's night out, I tell you that, on Sunday night, had he scored. So maybe it just gives him that extra bit of, you know, gravitas, kudos, if you like, with the fans. But Brendan Rodgers will be well aware what he can do. It'd be good to see him start, I think, and given an opportunity with a big crowd there and, you know, up against a good defensive side, because that's what you want to see him tested. Because if Rio's point's to be answered, does Celtic need to spend money? Well, you need to see what guys like Johnny Kenny are like against Hibs, who are flying high at the minute, or Aberdeen midweek. You need to see them against, you know, teams that you're going to really compete against rather than meaningless games.
It will be interesting to see the changes. Obviously, there'll be a lot of changes at the weekend against Hibs. But remember, Brendan Rodgers will still want to keep you know, winning up until the cup final. He's not just got to throw in a bunch of kids. That's not going to happen. I think throwing in a bunch of kids is a bit unfair as well, because if you're a kid, you want to get in and play with the best players. You know, if you're Johnny Kenny, you want that midfield playing, you want the wide players playing, because you're wanting to make up your mark by scoring goals. So if you've got a better chance playing with the quality players. I don't know if he's going to start him. I'll be surprised, but I think the argument is very good in the fact that if he pops that winner in, then you look at him thinking, well, his confidence is sky high. Get him in there. The fans will love him. Let's see what he's got. But I think Mark makes a great point. I think Brendan Rodgers will have that well in advance, knowing the sort of a team and who he's going to use. If everybody's fit, obviously you can pick up niggly injuries, but I think his preparation up until Aberdeen will be very important indeed.
Very, very early days, Rio, because we've not seen a lot. But have you got kind of high hopes, whether that's just little things you've seen or I think it's...
One thing I would say is, you look at Liam Scales, see if Naroki or Lagerby out, like, doesn't get injured and there's not all these injuries at the start of the season, Liam Scales goes out and loan to Aberdeen and he's never thought of again. So I'm not saying that he should start. I just think he should be given the opportunity. He scored 40 goals, albeit in a much less calibre a league. But I just mean, like, he scored goals, and you know what I mean? If he gets his opportunity, and I'm not saying throw a bunch of kids in, just start him and have him playing with the likes of Maeda and Kuhn and Hitati and see if he can score goals when provided with
a... No, the positive thing about that is you look at the game at the weekend, Brendan Rodgers had faith to put the boy on. You know what I mean? I know that you can say, well, he didn't have a lot of great options up there, but he still put him on the bench and he puts him on. And to be fair, if Maeda does square it, he's probably been the hero for Celtic, because he'll put the ball in the empty net. So Brendan Rodgers must think a lot of him. So it'll be interesting to see if he does get a start at the weekend.
So Liam Scales is a really good example, Mark, because of the profile, not just because, you know, having played in Ireland and so on, but just that, because there's a debate probably raging on about whether he can be upgraded for next season and whether he's like the top Champions League level or whatever, but he's very much a main part of the team, the starting 11 currently. Brendan Rodgers really likes him. So what's to say that can't be replicated elsewhere? I'm not saying it will, but what's to say that that pathway is not there for guys who maybe don't quite have that big kind of reputation or whatever to begin with?
The position, I think. So that's it. And I hate saying it because I was a defender, but I think for Scales and fullbacks and, you know, guys in that area, it's much easier to get in and, you know, not make a mistake and be solid. For strikers at big clubs, it always comes with battling with a big price tag, the glamour players, the fans' favourites. So you have to be absolutely exceptional if you're going to, you know, displace one of those guys or get in the side first and foremost. So I truly believe it is a position. But look, that's just to get the chance. Then obviously once you get in, you've got to sustain it. So if the boy goes in there and he scores, like Rio's saying, like he has done in his past clubs, then it's hard to withdraw him from the team, but it's the hurdles you have to go over to get that shirt first and foremost. It's going to be the hardest thing.
Can I just make one last point?
Of course you can, yeah.
You know how obviously Anthony Ralston started, and I love Ralston, but do you not think Rodgers made the wrong call in, like, having Johnston get that injection in his hip or whatever it was? Because surely Ralston was a good enough quality player to win you the league in all them games. And me, as a Celtic fan, I'd rather had Johnston at Ibrox, because Ralston can, like, do a job against any Scottish team, if you know what I mean.
Well, it's, you'd have done it the other way around, like used Anthony Ralston for the last few games to free up Alistair Johnston for this one. What do you think, Gordon?
Look, you've got to go with medical advice. They've got the best...
No, but I think Rio's kind of meaning, like, you could have got the league over the line with...
And yeah, there's no doubt you could have. You're not looking at a player that's went in there and he's playing 10, 15 games. Ralston, I think, had over 100 appearances, if I'm correct in saying that, with Celtic. I know a lot of them came from the bench, and he's experienced. He's an international player as well. I know some people, you know, he's not their favourite. But I think they're just sort of are nursing Johnson along. They look at that game. Let's be honest, apart from the pride situation of it with Rangers and Celtic, it was a game that you looked at and you thought, there's not a lot to play for here. It was all about the bragging rights. It was all about the pride. Could Barry Ferguson get another one over and Brendan Rodgers? Brendan Rodgers lost his last three games to Rangers. So it was all about that. So I think that they've managed Alistair Johnston probably, in their eyes, the best way possible for a cup final.
Because getting the league one is and was more important than the game against Rangers, wasn't it, Rio? Just the way it's all played out?
No, definitely. Like 100%. The league's your bread and butter. Like, you need to win that, and aye, that like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's more important. And thanks for having me on.
Pleasure. No, enjoyed it, Rio. Thank you very much.
To ask Mark, is that how he managed to get in that Celtic team? Because there's a lot of competition at the back.
You're all right, Rio. It's gone so well. We'll have to see off a German internationalist, a South Korean internationalist.
Oh, he's got to.
Think it was a Swedish internationalist that came in and done me.
I don't know the exact time frame. I just wonder. I wonder if we're a couple of weeks away from a debate on whether it would be harsh on Sinisalo coming out for a cup final right, just to let Kasper Schmeichel back in.
I've been impressed by Sinisalo.
By the way, I don't know what the time frame is. You know, you might get a clue. Say Schmeichel comes and plays this weekend, then you know you'll know.
Yeah.
But if it came down to that last week,
I think Schmeichel will be back in. Yeah,
I suppose that's football.
That's our position for you. You know, it's so ruthless, and you need to just take your medicine with that. But Sinisalo looks a good sign, and I said last week that Celtic have struggled with number twos and having a reliable backup. I think they've got one, Sinisalo.
I agree. I think that the minute Schmeichel's fit, he's back in. But I agree with Mark. I think the lad's been in there. He's got a taste of it, Gordon. I think the fans have bought into him. I think, I'll tell you what I really do like about him, he's used to the ball. I think that's what Brendan Rodgers, that's the reason brought him to Celtic Park. I think he's very comfortable with the ball at his feet.
Oh, you're always looking for goalkeepers who've got a good skill set, and that's what you two are looking for right now. Thanks again to Rio on the teaser. Don't forget, if you want to send your questions in and have them used on the show, send us them over fulltime@clyde1.com. So, since 97-98, seven goalies have kept 50 or more clean sheets in Scotland's top flight, and they did not play for Celtic or Rangers. Can you name them? Jamie Langfield and Xander Clark so far.
I'm going to throw in Trevor Carson.
Nope.
Oh, he's the one I had down there as well.
Have you got any else down there as well?
What about the St. Johnson goalkeeper?
What was his name?
The current St. Johnson.
No, the one up there's his name escapes me. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Where is he?
Won the Scottish Cup in that, didn't he? That one. He was there for years.
You're on the right track. I need a name.
Come on. Remember?
What did you look like?
Big gloves. I used to dive a bit.
Number one, he's back.
How can I not remember his name? It is.
No, nothing. Yeah. I'm surprised at you.
Oh, we're struggling with this. 97, 98. So obviously, who's that way back there?
97, 98?
It's more recent though.
Aye, the St. Johnson one's recent. Nah, who's 97, 98 then?
I think you need to try and get the
St. Johnson one first.
St. Johnson one. You should remember this guy. You're right. He was before Xander Clark. He had a good run of sort of consistent goalkeeping.
Who else did he play for?
No, that was the thing here. It was
St. Johnson, wasn't he? Given that he's initially second name.
Come on.
No,
seriously?
No, just a wee steer.
I mean, is there nothing else I can do for
Steve,
you?
Steve, somebody?
No.
I was thinking Steve Banks, he was the number two, wasn't he?
You know, he was like, he represented Northern Ireland, you know that? Yeah. Does that help you?
No.
I'm blank with this boy.
Oh, man.
You got it?
No.
It's too early for his initials. Any others?
Spring to mind? No, not just now.
I'll give you some thinking time.
Paul Gallagher?
Nope.
Oh, great shout.
More calls when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're nearly done on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still time to squeeze some calls in. If you've got some burning issues you want to share with us, please do on tonight's full-time teaser. Since 97-98, seven goalies have kept 50 or more clean sheets in Scotland's top flight, but haven't played for Celtic or Rangers. Jamie Langfield and Xander Clark, that is your lot so far.
Many of you get seven.
Five more.
Well, we've got one anyway. Joe Lewis at Aberdeen.
Correct, well done.
And I got, during the break, Alan Combe.
Alan Combe, well done. He's still not United. Got the St Johnston guy.
It's doing my nothing.
What does he look like? Describe him.
He's got hair and
colour. Big, tall, wee.
He's tall.
He's not going to be a wee goalie,
tall.
Is he?
Could be.
Like, what, tall. Tiny?
Good at jumping.
Jockey looking. Can he reach the crossbar?
Can he? Touch
he the played crossbar. In the cup final.
He did.
He's
been for years.
I think people will be shouting this one at the radio. Students of the game out there. Anyway, we'll get back to it. Kenny's a Hearts fan. Would you take Derek McInnes as your manager, Kenny?
Gordon, good evening, Gordon, and radio's answer to Jack and Victor. I would have, you know, on a lot of the Hearts pages and now they're all saying, no, he's not done nothing, he's not done this. He's actually done a lot better than people think, and he knows the Scottish game inside out, and He's managed teams that know how to beat Celtic and Rangers. That's a plus for
you. You've worked with the Mark, obviously. What do you think?
I think I've said before, I loved working under Derek McInnes. Thought he was, you know, a top manager at the time at Bristol City that just didn't align for him. Nothing really. I know he'll take responsibility for some of the stuff, but there was a lot of other stuff going on there. But I just loved the way he was with the players. And I think you can see that with every club he goes to. He always amasses then a good squad. He makes good signings. And I think he pretty much completes his objectives when they're handed to him at clubs. I think that's what you need to be a top manager. And of course, he took a step back. And I know Kelly fans won't like me saying that. But he did when they were in a difficult position. And I think he's completed the objectives that were set out to him in that regard. So if he goes into Hearts, we are completely different list in front of him and what needs done, I think he's a safe pair of hands to get it done. I think he's a top manager at this level. And I get the arguments people say, you know, there's arguments against that and why, you know, he couldn't be a top manager. I think he is. He was considered for the Rangers job at a time they were in trouble as well, reportedly knocked that back. But he knows his stuff in this country. And I think then going back to his signings, what I just touched on there, historically, through the years, he has made some top signings that have proved they know their way about this league.
He certainly brings experience to Hearts. If he goes to Hearts, with the fact that it's Scottish football, where he's been, managed three clubs, unfortunately for me. But it wasn't that long ago the Kilmarnock fans were on here and obviously not happy with him, want to move him on. But Mark's worked under him. I think it's until you work under someone, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses. He's a very experienced manager, Derek. Depending on where Hearts want to go for me.
Well, I know that, but what would you... Right, OK, it's difficult for me to ask you about people we don't know, and we don't know if their names are out there. The ones that have been mentioned, Derek McInnes, Stephen Robinson... John McGlynn, who's best suited to Hearts right now?
I think Derek McInnes is a manager, right? I think he's a manager. I think that guys like Stephen Robinson and John McGlynn would be happy again and work with players that was... I think Derek's got to be in charge of everything.
What's you're thinking now, like Jamestown Analytics, Tony Bloom, etc.
Yeah. I think you've got to look at the full package. So... I don't know if Derek would be happy being that sort of person because I think Derek's hands-on football club. I think he's a typical football manager for me.
Is there a case, though, Mark, to say that, because we don't know what Derek McInnes is thinking and I wouldn't want to insult him by saying he thinks one way or the other, that this is the way football is going. Football is heading this way where clubs have a structure and they appoint head coaches, and if sometimes if you want a job at a club of a certain size, you need to fit in.
Yeah, you have to play by the rules. I don't think. I've not spoke to Derek for a long time, but knowing him back when I did, I didn't think he would have any qualms about that and going and fitting a model and fitting in with a club. He is a very good coach on the grass as well. So I get what Daz is saying. I think Daz is totally right with how he manages football club, but if that's the way Hearts are, and Hearts are a big club, I think he would look at that job and see the vision what could be done with that club. Where do you want Hearts to go? Well, they can't be in the bottom six. So Hearts, and Kenny will tell you better than me here, but you've got to be up, you know, in and about Rangers and Celtic for a large part of the season. And look, we all know that that'll probably end up in third place is maybe the best you could get where the budgets are going about just now. But European football, a better run, the group stages, deep into cup competitions. And if you look at Derek's track record in cup competitions and where he's got his sides, that's certainly on his CV. So I think he can tick all those boxes.
Kenny, would he be your preferred candidate at the moment? I know you say you're open to the idea. Would he be your number one?
He would, Gordon. You know, I mean, it's, I think for the last few months at Hearts, there's been, you know, even going back to Naismith leaving, but it's just been a mess. And we need somebody that's, as I say, got the knowledge and actually going to, as Mark said as well, and Gordon, they need somebody to bring stability to the club. I mean, Hearts are a bigger club than people give them credit. You know, I think a lot of people sometimes, Celtic and Rangers, they're massive clubs, but Hearts and Hibs and your Aberdeen, they're all big clubs as well, you know, and a lot of players didn't just walk straight in the door and go, oh, this is great. Hearts have had too much of a turnover in the last couple of seasons.
Going to be an interesting few days for sure. Let's see what happens there. Of course, Derek McInnes is the Kilmarnock manager, for goodness sake. So, Kelly fans, please feel free to have your say. And if, he's got a big game this weekend as well, so he wasn't on press duty yesterday. But we'll see next time we hear from him. Thank you to Kenny. 01419511025. We could possibly squeeze one more in if you're quick.
I've got that goalkeeper.
The St Johnstone goalkeeper, yeah. Do you? Someone sent me a message actually on Twitter. JimBan96 says, is it? And he gets it right.
I know who it is.
Or am I in the same league as the two comedians?
No, I know who it is.
So, no.
Alan.
Aye.
McManus.
Manus.
Say again.
Is it McManus?
Just Manus.
Manus. There it is.
You've done it well done.
I've done it. I had it done anyway. Alan Manus. Do you know what? I was going to say him earlier, but I was putting McManus and I was thinking, nah,
was that a sticker player or something?
Alan McManus,
name,
no?
He was good. He was a good goalie as well.
Right, we've still got two to get though, have we?
Yeah. Anyway, before we let you go, give us your final thoughts, Mark, on tomorrow. We had some Thistle fans tweeting in earlier asking if you thought there were going to be any bodies back,
maybe one or two have to be, not just saying this, but have to be given right into the last minute. That is the toll that the last three games have taken, is Falkirk, Livy, and then obviously the other night. So we're given a couple every opportunity. But if they don't make it, then we just have to go with what we've got. We'll give it a good shot. 1-0, it's still hugely in the balance.
I'm excited for tomorrow night. I'll be sitting there with my popcorn.
No, you won't. You won't even watch.
I will watch. I watched you there night. I've switched off Inter Milan for you.
No, you didn't.
I swear, honestly. I did watch it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I played golf with him yesterday and he was telling me all about it.
Yeah.
All
right, okay. Yeah.
And I will be rooted to my recliner tomorrow, switch it to on, and I'm going
feet
to...
up.
See, at kick-off time, I will just be imagining that. I'll be thinking recliner when I should be thinking tactics.
I'm going to wish you all the very, very best here, live on the show. I hope you do it. I've nothing against Derry United, old club. I love managing there, but I'm going to side with you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Right, two more then. Looking for 7 goalies, 50 clean sheets or more in the top flight. Didn't play for Celtic or Rangers since 97-98. You're nearly there. Jamie Langfield, Xander Clark, Joe Lewis, Alan Manus, Alan Combe.
How far back are we going now? Back a wee bit?
Not
particularly?
No, yeah, but not back to the late 90s. No.
Right,
back a wee
okay.
bit, but no.
Kilmarnock one in there? No.
Yeah, one of them did play for Kilmarnock, yep.
We're just...
It's just a good guess there for me.
Yeah.
because Killick were all right.
The other one you're looking for is played for Hamilton Accies quite significantly.
Aye.
And Partick Thistle quite significantly.
Really?
Yeah, in a very short spell at, or not a short spell actually, but just a spell with not many appearances at Aberdeen.
Kenny Arthur?
Nope. No. He's from
Coach.
I knew that was good.
He's a Czech.
He's a Czech?
Yep.
Oh, no.
No,
I don't know.
Give
many
us
Czechs.
Initials.
Thomas Czerny.
Give us
our one. Come on.
No, clubs are better. Played a lot of games for Hearts, a lot of games for Kilmarnock. Played for Falkirk, Raith, Morton. This guy's been about.
Hamilton.
Jamie
Hamilton. No.
First name's correct.
Jamie. That's been right in my head.
In a show.
Where you'd go for a Big Mac.
Oh, Jamie McDonald.
Thank you very much to Gordon DL and to Mark Wilson. We're back tomorrow at 6. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.